Well, good morning. Glad to be here once again. It's been a few weeks since we were here on Sunday morning, I guess. Got a thought that the Lord has been talking to me about, and not really sure why. I don't really understand the purpose of it real well. I don't know of anybody here that I would even think would be dealing with this, really, unless it'd be me. I've struggled with it, and I've asked the Lord to help me, and the Lord has helped me over the last few years. But I'd like to turn to Matthew, first chapter, and I would appreciate your prayers. Matthew 1 and 18. This is the beginning of the story of Jesus, and that's not really what my message is about this morning. But it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately." Historians say that Mary was somewhere around 13 or 14 years old at this time. And I can't even imagine entering into a marriage at that age. But it was a lot more customary for that back then. And anyway, that's what she did. She was espoused to Joseph. I believe that she was a righteous woman, and Joseph was a righteous man, and they were espoused in the old law. That was almost exactly the same thing as being married. They couldn't just break up. They had to sign a divorce, and it was a very, very serious thing. And so they were espoused, but they had not yet come together. They were not fully married. And so Joseph found himself in a situation that was very difficult. It's a situation that unfortunately is not unique. A lot of people have been in that situation where they had someone that they were going to marry and then found out that there had been some unfaithfulness on the other side. And that's the predicament that Joseph found himself in. So what do I do? He was trying to figure out what to do, and it says that he was a just man. And it was on that basis that it says that he was minded to put her away privately. Now, if you read in the law, in Deuteronomy and in Leviticus, people that committed adultery were condemned to die. But Joseph, and you know, if Joseph would have looked on the face of it and said, "Well, this is very evidently what happened, and so I'm going to go to the magistrate, and we're going to take care of this, and I love this girl, but not anymore. Look what she's done to me, and I'm going to go, and she's caused a breach of trust, and I everything's over between us. I don't have any more feelings for her anymore, and we're going to go and she's going to get what the law says." But instead, it says that he was minded to put her away privately. It says that he was a just man. And you think of justice as being something that's completely fair. And you know what? You hear somebody that maybe committed a crime, then they got in trouble, and somebody might say, well, he got his just desserts. We want justice to be served. Maybe hear of a court conviction and somebody say, justice has been served. But I think of a scripture in Micah that says, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? To do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. And the thought came to me that justice and mercy are not opposed to each other, but they work together. They're not incompatible with each other. Now, God was interested in there being justice and holiness and righteousness. If you go back and you read in the law where it condemned adultery, they said, so shalt thou put away evil from Israel. And so there was a very positive commandment that people that did the thing that Joseph thought that Mary did, those people were to be put to death because God wanted evil to be put away from Israel. Now, this is going to take a little bit to get through, so bear with me. I gather from reading, from what I can put together, what I can infer from this story, is that when Joseph, I don't know, the scripture doesn't record the conversation that Joseph and Mary had, if there was one at all. I don't know, it says that after the angel told Mary that she was to be with child, she went to the hill country, and she was over there with her cousin Elizabeth. I don't know how long she was over there. Possibly when she got back, it was obvious what was going on, and Joseph knew without ever even receiving a word from her about it. Maybe she was too perplexed and embarrassed to say anything. I don't know. But Joseph, it says that he was a just man. It doesn't, you know, you might think of somebody that overlooks faults or failings in somebody as being overly indulgent. Maybe if it's somebody of your own family or somebody that you love very much, you might overlook something in somebody somebody close to you that you wouldn't overlook in somebody else. You ever notice that? Somebody maybe has children that are really unruly and they have no problem finding fault with other people's children, but with their own children, it seems like that they don't ever see any problem. Well, that it doesn't say Joseph, her husband, being an indulgent man or being somebody that was being a man that was blinded by love. It said that he was a just man. The actions that he took are commended by Scripture. It says that he was a just man and he was not willing to make her a public example. He was minded to put her away privately. I am guessing that in this situation he thought about it and he said, what do I do? I can't go through with it because of what's happened. There's too big of a question, but I'm going to assume the best until I've been proven out. Well, how do you assume the best of something like that? Well, maybe somebody forced her against her will. Maybe she's too embarrassed to talk about it. Maybe she's not willing to condemn anybody. Maybe, and all of these questions. But at the end of it, he had to say, I can't go through with it. Until the angel of the Lord came and said what was necessary to change his mind. I'd like to read a scripture in 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. And we've read this scripture in several different messages recently. 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And I've been thinking a lot about this lately. And we spoke recently about the paradigm, the love paradigm. And we heard a little bit about it in the Sunday school this morning. And we know that we know of the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 13 where it says, love it seeketh not her own. It thinketh no evil. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. It has all of those parameters with it. And that's part of the paradigm of love. It's part of the whole system that God is and that He came to introduce to us. And so that's why I believe in this. You know that in this situation, was there ever more evidence that someone had transgressed? Any more obvious evidence on the face of it? Did anybody ever have more of a right than Joseph did to go and talk about Mary and tell all voices speculations and go to the law and get her in trouble and all that? But it says that he was a just man. He loved her, and not only did he love her, but he loved God. And so, from what I can see in the story, he assumed the best because he didn't know the worst. And he did everything that he could to protect her. Like to read a scripture, and I want to come back. I kind of read the scripture in 2 Corinthians a little bit ahead of schedule here, because I want to build a couple things first. It says in Proverbs 11 and 13, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. In another scripture, in Proverbs 10 and 12, we won't turn there, but it says, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. I believe that we are living in a time, and maybe it's been this way all down through time, but it seems to me that love is at a very high premium, that it's in short supply, that there's a lot of shortages of it in the world. And the Lord came to bring it to us. He came to introduce it into our lives. There's no way that we could ever have real, genuine love had the Lord not first injected it into our lives. We love Him because He first loved us. And it says that hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. And then it says, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. I believe that there are many times where people are going to do things, we're going to see what they do, and things will jump to our minds. Well, he did this because of this. And it's so easy for us to look at what somebody did and assign a motive. He did this because of this. She meant to hurt me here. She did this because she wants her own personal gain. And he did this over here because he likes this person better than he likes me. And then we start assigning motives. You know what? You know that the whole method of thinking there doesn't fit within the love paradigm? Let me read some of the things in 1 Corinthians 13 that it says. It says, thinketh no evil. And I've done a little research on that phrase. And what it means is prematurely assigning a motive to an action. Somebody that did something, you know, maybe you know what they did. Maybe you don't even know exactly all of what they did. Joseph didn't know exactly what Mary did. He didn't know if she was completely innocent or if somebody had manipulated her or got her in a very difficult position where she didn't really have any choice in the matter. But somebody that doesn't have the love of God is going to look at situations, why'd they say that? And then things start working in our minds and we think of this motive and that motive. And well, they said that because, and then after a while we have a whole chain of events going on about somebody, and maybe they didn't mean anything like that at all. I will tell you that this is something that the Lord has worked and worked and worked with me on, because so many times I have assumed something about what somebody did or said, and I found out later that it was completely wrong. Completely wrong. I've misunderstood what people said. I've misrepresented people's thoughts and motives. I've taken things and applied wrong on both sides. I've thought people were doing good when they really weren't, and I've thought people were doing bad things when they were trying to do good. But it says that it thinketh no evil. And I'm looking at I'm thinking about this morning. This is what I'm getting to. I want to zero in on this scripture that we just read in Proverbs. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Now, we have to take the whole word of God together, all of it. So what about the scriptures that say, there's a scripture in 1 Timothy 5:20 that says, them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. There's another, well, I'll tell you what's going on here. In 1 Corinthians 5:4, Paul said, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one. He's talking about somebody that had fallen into some gross sin. Somebody that was part of the congregation, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Everything that was happening and the purpose of everything that Paul was talking about in these places, it fits inside the paradigm of love. Everything that he said, let's do, he said, let's deliver such a one to Satan, for the destruction of the flesh, not so that they're going to squirm, not so that we can look at them and laugh and say, well, look where that got you, not so that we can go and talk about them and vent our feelings, the feelings that we've had bottled up inside us the whole time anyway. We're going to go and we're going to let them have it because they have really messed up, and now we are justified in any kind of thought or attitude that we can take out and wreak vengeance on this person. But he said that the spirit may be saved in the Lord Jesus. And that was the motive, the long-term goal, the purpose of Paul when he said that. And so when he says, them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear, if you take that and then you take the scripture that says, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. There were times when people that were in the church had a good reputation and were maybe leading people, that heresies would begin to get introduced. In 2 Timothy 2, Paul said, their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. This is not somebody that has privately offended me, somebody that's kind of said something that they shouldn't have said, somebody that's slipped up and and has a fault that if I, by the grace of God and meekness, can go and begin to help restore them, as the scripture says, this is somebody that was publicly, it was causing trouble, it was causing division. And so Paul, and this is biblical, for the good of the whole congregation, for the good of the kingdom of God, he had to name them out by name. But when it says them that sin rebuke before all, it doesn't mean if somebody slights you and says something that hurts your feelings, that doesn't give you a license to get up and tell everybody in church about it and rebuke them in front of everybody. It doesn't give you a license to go behind their back to this person and that person, and you call your mother about it, and you call your brother, and you say, you know, we need to pray for them. This is what they did to me and all that. I'd like to go down this list here of what it says in 1 Corinthians 13. It says that it seeketh not our own. And so we've talked about this before. You know, a lot of times I have found that whenever I'm in a position where I've got some dirt on somebody, I've got somebody did something that I think, first of all, a lot of times I don't know for sure whether they did it or not. And don't know what their motive is. So let's keep that in mind. And I go and I spread some news about somebody. Somebody did something, and so I'm going to go tell this person, I'm going to go tell somebody. You know what that does? It has the effect of lifting me up. When I put somebody else down, it has the effect. And it doesn't do it in the sight of God. And I suspect that it doesn't do it in the sight of most people that you're talking to. But it's something that feels good to the flesh. It lifts me up. If I can talk about how this person's not quite up to par and this person over here is just really not what they should be, and I wish I could go talk to them, and maybe if the Lord will allow me, I'm going to do that someday. And this person over here is just not adhering to the standard and all that. Pretty soon, everybody else is kind of down here and I'm up here because I can see all these inconsistencies, you see. And I've got... You know, I just got it all together. And you know, when we get together in our groups together, we can talk, and we can talk about this person and that person. And the end result of it is that our own little group that's got together to discuss these things, we end up being up here somewhere in our own minds, and then everybody else is down over here. What kind of love is that? What kind of unity and harmony is that? And then we can go away. And one thing maybe we don't even think about is that if just one of the people that we're just got done talking about were with us in that group and we got them to talk with us, well, we wouldn't talk about them. We'd just talk about everybody else and they'd be elevated with us. Well, that's not how the Lord, you know, the Lord wants to elevate people, but not against other people, not in comparison of other people. He wants you and I to have a full, complete identity in Jesus Christ, where we're exalted in that we're not crushed down and oppressed by Satan. We don't have to live under an inferiority complex. We don't have to be to feel like we're not accepted and we're not loved and we're not we don't fit in. We fit right in with the body of Christ when we do the will of God and when we live within His standards and we live within the paradigm of love and all the other things that He came to bring. We fit right in exactly where it doesn't really matter if somebody else comes and maybe they don't do exactly like they're supposed to. We probably, every one of us, have areas that we need to move up into. So it says, rejoiceth not iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. So that's what love does. It rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. So I want to ask you something. If what you're going to reveal about somebody, is it sensational? Is it some juicy gossip? Kind of feels good to tell? You know, the Lord wants us, when we love somebody, He wants everything we do to follow that love paradigm. Where when we, and this is where I'm going to insert that scripture I read a little bit ago. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There are many times that we're going to have the opportunity in life to be offended at somebody for what they did. And we assign this motive or that motive to them. And then we've got to maybe it's obvious. Maybe they really did mean to hurt us. Maybe they really did. Maybe there's a real problem there. Well, what are we going to do about it? Are you glad they did it? Because, you know, maybe you've been a little bit envious of this person for years, and they seem to have the best testimonies, and they can say the best prayers in church, and everybody likes them, but now they've done this. So now you know what I can do? I can go and I can tell people about what they've done. And now I have just jumped a little bit higher. Even though I can't do everything they can do, I've just jumped a little bit higher, and maybe now people will look to me. And because I've got this about somebody, is it sensational? Is it something that is kind of, I can't wait to tell this. This sounds so bad, but you know, the devil will play on our flesh and get us to have these thoughts inside where I really wanted to do it. And then we can go to somebody, and one of the most common excuses is, hey, we need to pray for this person. We need to pray for this person. They're doing this and this and this and this and this and this. And we need to pray for them. And that's the reason I'm telling you, because we need to pray for them. I want to tell you that the Lord wants us, when thoughts enter our head, you know that He has a truth that you can get a hold of, and He can help you to rightly divide the word of truth. That's not just talking about figuring out what the Bible teaches. That's talking about when things come our way, we can make divisions in our mind, and we can say, you know what? This comes from the devil, and this over here does not. I'm going to leave this situation with God. You know something we can always do, no matter what happens? We can pray for people. Lord, you see what this person did. You see this person's fault over here. Do you know that you don't need to get anybody? There is power in group prayer, but there are some times when group prayer is not necessary or not desirable, because the Lord wants you to take something in your own closet. That's why the Lord says, when you pray, go in your closet. Okay, there's public prayer and then there's private prayer. And in your private prayer, you can take all of those things to the Lord. And don't just pray, Lord, help them to know how wrong they are. You pray, Lord, help me. Help me to have the right attitude toward this person. Lord, this hurts real bad. Help me to be able to forgive. Help me to be able to get up from my prayer closet and go and treat this person with all the love that you would. Help me, Lord. I want to tell this, Lord. Help me not to tell it. Help me to. Do you know that people's reputation is something that it's something that belongs to them? And whenever you tell somebody, what's going to happen if you see something that looks real obvious? And it might or might not be completely correct, and then you tell a whole bunch of people. Well, somebody's reputation just got trashed and they didn't even deserve it. May the Lord help us. I don't know why the Lord gave me these thoughts this week, but the Lord has worked with me about it. I believe that the Lord wants to work with me more about it, more on it, but the Lord has been helping me, and I am thankful for it. Now, I'm going to read again the scripture. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. And then there's another one in the New Testament in 1 Peter 4:8. It says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And so we have, whenever we have a thought, you know what? I need to go and I need... Well, the scripture says, Matthew 18, the scripture says, if somebody offends you, go and tell them about it. You know that is not a... That is not a justification to go and vent your anger on whoever it was. The whole reason for Matthew 18, when it says, if your brother offends you, you go talk to him about it. Because it says that if he'll hear you, you've gained your brother. You're not wanting to go to him so that you can have vengeance or revenge on him. You're not wanting to go to see, all right, I want them to feel bad. That's not the point of it. We go to him for the whole purpose of reconciliation, for restoration, for not just restoration of the relationship, but you know, this other person's going to eternity too. And they're going to spend somewhere in eternity. I'm going to them, no matter how deep the offense is, if somebody's really done wrong to me, I don't want them to go out into eternity with that on their soul. And so I'm going to go to them, not for the purpose of seeing them squirm, not for the purpose of evening the score, but for the purpose of clearing his conscience, for the purpose of restoring our relationship, and for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. That's what the purpose of Matthew, the instructions of Matthew 18 is. And so, whenever we go, see, if we go to somebody and we're already operating under the wrong paradigm, it says hatred stirreth up strifes. And so when you're not operating under the love paradigm, then what people have done is magnified in your mind. They did this because of this and this, and you're frustrated and you're angry, and so you're already on the wrong foot, already starting with the wrong foundation. So you go to them, and the situation is already bigger than it needs to be, and then you start talking to them about it. You know that very few problems will ever get solved that way. But when we have the love of Jesus, and this is something that before you ever go to somebody, if somebody has offended you, before you ever go to them, you have to get the victory in your own mind. And go to them with the love of God in your heart. Going to them is not, so, you know, if they don't come clean about this, then I can never love them again. No, the love has to be there before you ever go to them. And then when you go to them, the purpose of going to them is not so they'll suffer. It's not so they'll know they're wrong. It's so that the relationship can be mended. And it's for the good of everyone. I just want to give this instruction. I believe the Lord put this on my heart this morning. You know, damaging other people's reputation is just a classic way of getting revenge. And it's something that we don't really even hardly think about, but people that maybe can't do it any other way. That's how they do it, and they can do a lot of damage that way. And so, I'd like to read a couple scriptures before we close. Psalms 141:3 says, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." And in James 1:26 it says, "If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." And that's some pretty strong language. You know, when I believe that there's another scripture that says, "Where no wood is," this is Proverbs 26:20, "there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth." I believe that in our congregations, in our families, in our extended families, in our communities, I think so many congregations and so many families would operate so much smoother if we would follow the instructions here. If if the whole motive of me interacting with somebody is I love them and I want the best for them, I'm not going to go and damage their reputation because I don't want to hurt them. Not sure exactly what happened anyway. There are times where things have to be brought out in the open, and we read about that. But a lot of times I think people use those scriptures, use those thoughts for an excuse of, well, we need to tell this for the good of everybody, and then they'll go tell somebody, well, here, let's pray together. Let's get a prayer team of people together for this person that didn't treat me quite right. And it's all an excuse, and the whole paradigm of love is that it conceals. And the reason it conceals is because the Lord wants to restore them. They're not going to be able, their chance of getting restored is a whole lot less if their reputation's damaged and now it hurts their relationship with other people because they heard about this thing that happened. But no, let's have the mind of restoration for our brothers and our sisters. And I'd like to read another script, a couple scriptures in 1 Thessalonians 4. And 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. And I just want to stop and say, I wanted to read this. This is not the scripture that I'm getting to. It's farther down. But this should be our heart cry every day. I want to abound in the grace of God. I want to walk and please God. I want to abound more and more. I want to do better today than I did yesterday. I want to shine the light of Jesus more brightly than I did yesterday. I want to have more of the grace and the love of God than I did yesterday. I want to be the salt of the earth. I want to be the light of the world. I don't want to just have a Church of God club card. I don't want to just have a Jesus Christ club card. I want something that is active and living and moving and influencing in my life, where I can touch many people and I can cause them to see the love of God, and I'm not going around causing trouble, not going around stirring up strife and division and hatred, and everything that's coming out of me is taken into captive first and come under the obedience of Jesus Christ. My thoughts and my actions, Lord, purify my thoughts. Lord, purify the motives of my heart. Help me not to do things. You ever heard of a rider on a congressional bill where they introduce a bill maybe for public safety or something like that, and on it they tack this rider on there. They know that the rider would never pass if they introduced it as a standalone bill. But they tack it on here, and they kind of marry the two together where they say, you know, okay, if you vote for this, well, it's down in the fine print somewhere. And then you get to asking about, why is this on there? Well, it's because of this and this and this. And if you really want this bill to work, you're going to have to do this over here. And it's kind of a dark horse. It flies under the radar and it gets passed. You know, a lot of wasteful government spending and a lot of inefficient programs and bad legislation has been passed because it was a rider on some legitimate bill. Well, that's what happens here. We have something that's legitimate. We need to solve this problem, and we think that we've got to address this issue, and underneath there's this hatred and there's this bad attitude and this unforgiveness that's going in there. And really, if the truth be known, a lot of the writers on these bills in Congress are those. That's the real bill. That's what was really wanting to happen. That's what they were really wanting to get pushed through. But they had to have some sort of legitimate reason for it to pass. And so they introduced this legislation over here that they didn't really care about in order to pass the writer on there. And so may the Lord help us, because I think this is what happens to us many times, is that there's this underlying current in the things that we do and say that really is the motivation behind it all, but we don't realize it. So may the Lord help us. So it says down, if you drop down, said, so you would abound more and more. In the seventh verse, it says, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. And this is something that has resonated in my mind, to do your own business. There are things that we can get involved in that have nothing to do with what the Lord wants us to do. They're a distraction. Not only that, but you know, I have found that it is a full-time job trying to be what the Lord wants me to be without having to go and look at somebody else. I want to ask you a question. If you were to tally up on a graph how much time you spend trying to fix your own problems and how much time you spend trying to fix other people's problems, how do you think that those graphs would tally out? What's the percentage? You don't have to answer. But I don't want you to answer, but I've just found that a lot of times we get all wrapped up and we're so concerned. You know, I'm concerned for this person's soul. Brothers, I want you to pray for me for this person's soul because they're just treating me so bad. And yet at the very same time, we have a great lack and need of the grace and love of God in our own lives. And we put that on a shelf and say, I'll deal with that later. I'm trying to fix this person over here right now. May the Lord help us that we'll be able to look at our own selves and let the grace of God work. And you know, I believe that when He puts these things in our heart and we get more and more of the love of God, a lot of the grievances and a lot of the assumptions that pop up in our mind, a lot of the motives that we assign are going to look completely different. There are times when people really hurt you. There are times when people oppose, and there are times when people do things that they ought not. But when the Lord helps us to have His love inside of us, it says, charity beareth all things. So ask in your thoughts and what you're doing with what's happened to you, are you bearing all things? Charity endureth all things, and it hopeth all things. What do you want to get out of the deal? Are you trying to smear somebody, or are you trying to ultimately help them to make it to heaven? You want to see them in heaven? Well, maybe not if they still got my $50 in their wallet. No, listen, I want to tell you something. I want to see everyone in heaven. I want to see them in heaven. If I go to them because there's been an offense, it's because I want them to make it to heaven. If I know that they told a lie or did something like that, there may be a time and place to deal with them, but a lot of times, you know, there's an English proverb that says it's very easy to find a stick to beat a dog with. You know why? Because you want to beat the dog. The dog bit your shin. You want to beat the dog. Well, it's real easy to find a stick to beat the dog. It's real easy to find a way to let your feelings out, to vent, and we can hide it under guises and things. Well, I trust that the Lord will do something with this morning. I just want to encourage us to stay busy with God's work. And let's stay busy working on ourselves. And when we do that, we're going to find that we don't have near as much time as we thought we did working on everybody else. You pray for me. I want to be faithful. I want to do this too.